run by fools and knaves. Mob leader. Hanging out, King. I know it's not easy. I know there are times when your will flags. I know there are times when your gut heaves. I know there are times when your knees turn to water. But hang in there, crowd. Once again, WOR takes great pleasure in announcing that I'm here. Wait up, please. Tonight's program is dedicated to the white whale. I want the gal just like the gal that gave the business to my dear old dad. Oh, I want a gal. Oh, what a wonderful pal that never let him out of her sight. Oh, I want a gal just like the gal that never got off the old man's back. La da 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 da, razzmatazz and dazzy, Rudy Rudy, tee tee. Well, I think we've warmed up the population out there sufficiently. I think we've got enough gaskets boiling out there. I think that there's a little feeling of insecurity out there. Already I can hear the sound of those hands reaching out, those claws grasping at knobs, saying, what's this nut talking about? What this fool, this idiot, this... That's it. Fun music, gang. The fun wheels all around us. Look at the ka 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 ding 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 ding. Look at that down. Look at the ka. Yes, have you been having your fun lately? Has life been one long drink of effervescent elixir of passion, Dad? Yes, sir. Has your prow been cutting the great stormy seas of life with elan and joie de vivre? Exciting. You know, I never did finish that story the other night about how Shepard got so deeply involved in the building trades at one time, did I? You mean I've never told you about the time I worked for the carpenter? Never? You don't know about that horrible, hellish period in my life when at the age of 14, trying to get closer to this chick, I took a job with her father, who drove me like a slave through the wheat fields of toil, trial, and tribulation. Oh, boy, I'll tell you, this is the only guy I've ever known who could get 37 hours in 1 8-hour day. Talk about compressing the toil world. You know, it's funny. I wonder how many people remember a job, one particular job, with a terrible sense of loathing, sickness, a kind of... a kind of sinking sensation that goes all the way down somewhere about a foot and a half below your feet into the ground. You know, you just feel yourself going, ooh, that feeling of a stopped-up sink down somewhere in your soul, that feeling that, you know, the guys are always talking about in the Roto-Rooter ads. Well, you feel that somewhere along the line, somewhere in some deep, secret place in your life, a Roto-Rooter has not been used properly. And that there are somehow mollusks attached to the important nerve ending someplace. Well, I'm a kid one time. It's funny how you have to admit these things. I was a kid once. And it was this kid, see. And I had just, it was just at this time of the year. And I had just gotten out of school. And I'm playing ball, see. I'm having a great time. You know, it's summertime. It's Freezeville, you know. It's Freezeville. Give me the first one, the fun music, see. It's Freezeville, you got it? And I'm running free as a bird. I am running like some forest nymph over the sand dunes, through the trees, and under the great arching blue sky of northern Indiana. And just over the horizon lay that great flat expanse of beautiful Lake Michigan, where every 50 minutes, Flick and Brewer and I were in swimming up to our necks in dead fish. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, what a great life. It was knocking out fly balls all morning long, chasing dawn stricken for 2.5 hours until about 3 o'clock. Then a couple of quick rounds of tennis, and then a little kick in the can. Then we'd hide under Brewer's porch and smoke cigars. And then, you know, the whole scene. Life is beautiful. Life is rich. Oh, wow, we are out. School is out. Holy smokes. Okay, you got the scene. All right, before we tell you this terrible tale of woe, speaking of woe, hit him right in the ear, Mark.
Here's Frankie Lane. It's McQueen. Time you try to swing a new toothpaste that gets teeth irresistibly white, a gleams as a taste that's so lively, so dazzling, you can actually feel it white. Your whole mouth feels refreshed and invigorated. Come on now, try new McLean. You'll dig it.
It's McLean, the toothpaste that cleans with a new kind of taste that is so wild.
Yeah. Oh, wow, oh, get loaded and loaded. Oh, go try it.
What a fantastic singer I am these days. Whoa! Tooie. Well, you know, I wonder how many of us can actually remember that great sensation of being out of school. I mean, really being out of school. Now, no vacation that an adult ever takes is like that. No, there is no sense of release. There is no sense of actual, the big iron doors of Sing Sing clanking open. And they say, go, man, go, go, and never come back. Because you have the feeling when you're out for the summer, like it's Foreverville, you know? That the summer will go on forever and ever. And you run under the skies and the great flat white clouds are drifting overhead and the birds are singing. And you just, you know, it's fantastic. It's out there. Well, all right, you got the scene. It is about a week and a half and I'm just getting really warmed up. You know, it takes a while for a kid to, it's like the bends, you know. It takes a while for about 10 days before you really get loose. I mean, you shake off Mr. Pittenger, you know, back there in Algebra 1. You forget all about Mr. Settlemeyer in Biology 1. You forget about Miss Easter. You forget about Miss Snyder, your homeroom teacher. And it's all beginning to fade into some great melange of background. And all the girls that you were madly in love with, you know, that were back there in school, have faded off, and now you're back on the, all the neighborhood chicks again. You see, you forget about those girls that you don't see until next summer and all that, next winter time, and you're running. Oh, boy. All right, you got it. It's about 7 days or 8 days into the scene. Now listen to this one. Now, of course, My old man, you don't hear me talk much about my father, too. You know, he was there. He was a typical father. You know, he's on the scene, in and out. He was always bowling and yelling and hollering, drinking beer and buying cars and that kind of stuff. And like most kids, your real involvement is with your mother. You know, she's always around the house and giving you tomato soup and giving you sardine sandwiches for lunch, you know, and hollering out for you to come in and do this and wash your face and all that. Well, all right, it's summertime. Flick and Bruner and Schwartz and I are just living it right up to the hilt. We are working on, now get this now, this is the very important part of the story. We are working on building a ball diamond. We've got a nut in our head that we're going to build this ball diamond in a vacant lot down by Flick's house. Now, building a ball diamond consists of just tramping down all the weeds. And we're out there tramping down the weeds, and we've decided where home plate is going to be, and we've decided where the bases are going to be. You know, and there's a big ideological argument as to whether we should have a short left field fence, because we all like to hit home runs, you know. We put the sticks out there. We're working, we're having a great time, see. Well, I came home just covered with the honest toil and sweat and the stickers and all the chiggers and bites and stuff of a kid who spent his day out there in the vacant lot building a ball diamond. And I arrive home, and I'm hungry like a nut, you know. I want to eat the dining room table and, you know, eat my kid brother's tennis shoes and the whole scene. I come rushing into the house, and my old man has come home. See, he's sitting in the front there. He's got a paper. He says, "Hey, Jeannie, I got a surprise for you." Surprise? Yeah, really? Wow! You know, it's really a surprise, you know. A kid thinks in terms of a new ball mitt. He's going to take me in to see the White Sox, something like that, you know. He says, "I got a surprise," because he had this real big happy look on his face. Now, there's another kind of surprise that you get when you're a kid, and that means dentist. I mean, it's a lot of other things. Say, "Hey, I got a surprise for you. Come on. We're just going for a little ride, Jeannie." You know, that kind of, you sit in the back seat and you're going closer and closer to that terrible office that's three stories above the barber shop there, you know, where where the dentist says, well, that's another kind of surprise, but this was the happy surprise. The old man says, "I got a surprise for you." I says, "What, Dad?" He says, "Well, I'll tell you after supper." He said, "It is a great surprise." And boy, oh boy, life is full. The old cup is slopping all over my feet. It's so full and overflowing. I'm drinking deep of the Empyrean spring of delight and passion. I'm sucking right at the marrow of the bones of happiness itself. You know, I'm down there digging with the pork chops. Speaking of getting nothing but the marrow of the bones, this is WOR AM and FM New Yorkie, and we will continue this tale of incredible. Hi, kids out there. Wait a minute before you do that. Stop it, Mario. I want to salute all you kids out there that finally got out, kids. Oh, man, do I envy you. Oh, wow. Holy smokes. Nothing to do with second childhood. It's just a thing that you will never know. I mean, again, that fantastic moment of release. It's all summer. No, we here in the grown-up world, we've got to keep our noses to the grindstone. We've got to be down here in the galley with our backs bent to the oars, which reminds me.
This is the sound of ragtime, the gay 90s version of progressive jazz. Ragtime, back again and drawing big crowds all across America. Right here, the crowd just can't get enough. And here, where you find today's people, you'll find today's beer. Schlitz, listen.
Now that's what I call beer drinking music.
Yo, waiter, four more Schlitz.
Johnny, you're a genius. This is the best beer I ever tasted.
Today's sound, today's people, and real gusto in a great light beer. Today's beer, Schlitz, from the Joseph Schlitz Brewing Company, Milwaukee, another city.
Can you find me another Schlitz, bartender?
Mister, well, we're out of Schlitz. We're out of beer.
Boy, I'd like to hear just one kid. One kid, one real live voice cracking kid holler, "Woo! Whoopee! I'm out! Wow, Excelsior!" Just one kid. I want to hear that before we leave the air today. And we've got a couple of commercials now. They're waiting. I'm going to continue this story because it was one of the very first moments in my life that I became disillusioned. With my old man, I became disillusioned with that happy smile on the face that says, I've got a surprise for you. Yes, indeed. Anytime people say surprise now, I begin to break out in a very faint row of blisters back around my shoulder blades. We have here the paper book gallery. Now, you mark this down, Mario. Keep the log there. We've got the paper book gallery here, and for those of you who have been hock deep in old paper books, you know, paperback things that you don't know what to do with, the paper book gallery at 399 6th Avenue at 8th Street, it's at 8th and 6th down there, right in the middle of the village, has a gigantic paperback trade-in sale. Now, all the used paperbacks are worth 25% towards any new purchases down there. In other words, you just go down there and you can just unload about 4 tons of them, and they will take a look at them, and they will count 25% towards the purchase of anything else that you want. Any paperbacks that you no longer want. Incidentally, you don't have to drive them even down there. They'll come and pick them up. So if you would like to make, if you'd like to make this deal, if you've got 10,000 tons of paper books that you don't read, and you'd like to trade them in for 10,000 tons of new paper books that you won't read, give them a call. The number is YU92226. That's YU92226. In fact, call them right now, and the minute they answer the phone, I'll help, 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 I'm drowning in Kierkegaard, help, Schopenhauer, I'm drowning. And they'll know what you mean. The number is YU92226. That's the paper book gallery at 6th Avenue and 8th Street, okay? Fine. Yes, sorry, Bob. And I don't know why. It's like, hey, what day is this? Thursday already. Holy smokes, in a couple of seconds I'll be at the Limelight, which is going to be Friday night between 10:05 until midnight. And oh, incidentally, one more thing before I finish this story, because I've got to approach this story, because, you know, when you approach true disillusionment, you have to do it delicately. You can't just go headlong into it. For those of you, people keep writing in and say, let us know when you have some writing around. Well, I have a gigantic expose of what a rotten, crummy, insane, insidious place the Midwest really is in the current issue of Playboy, which is the July issue. This is their whoopee issue. This is the July issue of Playboy, now on the stands. And the name of the short story, the giant expose of that enormous overturned swamp of existence known as the Midwest, is called Ludlow Kissel and the Dago Bomb That Struck Back. The name of the story, all right? It's in the current issue. Now, we've got one more commercial here, and it's Peugeot. And they have a thing going, and as you know, I'm a great automobile fan, and particularly the more exotic foreign cars. And one of the best cars made in the world today is the Peugeot. In fact, it's considered one of the finest 7 automobiles built anywhere, and it ranks way down among the lowest in price. It's a magnificent buy. Dollar for dollar, I just don't think you can beat the Peugeot anywhere. Sliding roof comes as standard on it, and the whole business of beautiful air ventilating system, great upholstery and all that. Anyway, it's a terrific family car, and they believe so much in their car, the Peugeot people. Incidentally, the oldest car running in America today is an 1895 Peugeot, and they believe so much in the car that they say if you're thinking of buying a compact car, any kind of a compact car, they want you to come down and try the Peugeot. And if you don't buy a Peugeot, if you go out and buy some other compact car, between now and July 15th, they will give you a 17-jewel Swiss watch. Wow. That's Peugeot, okay? Is there a kid out there? that wonderful sense of release. Oh, by the way, one more thing I must add. The Peugeot showroom here in Manhattan is at 2 East 46th Street. Right in the heart of the Golden Rent District. How they do it. Well, all right. You want to hear the rest of the story? Oh, you want to? Hello, kid? Hello, hello. Hello, kid? Wait a minute. Hold it, hold it. Hold it. Listen. Hello, kid? What did you say, kid? What did you say is out? Holy smokes. Did you hear that? Some genuine kids scoring all the way from Jersey. School is out. And believe me, the passions are running high. Oh, man. Well, anyway, see, I'm out of school, see, and I'll never forget. This is a warning for you, those of you who are kid types out there, and somebody gives you a great big grin and says, "Herbert, I've got a surprise for you, Herbert." Well, be careful, kid. Keep your knees loose and give them a very low silhouette and be ready to dive under the day bed. Believe me. So I come in, see, and I'm feeling great. Schwartz and Bruner are going home. They're exhausted, you know. They're covered with the sweat of honest toil. And Bruner's next door. I can hear him already crying. His old man is whopping him, you know, and I can hear him yelling. And I'm walking in through the kitchen. The old man says, "I've got a surprise for you." I says, "Really, what?" He says, Now wait. Let's keep it until after we eat. A surprise. Automatically, my kid brother goes, "I want one too." Instantly, the kid brother's crying. He wants one too. He's standing over there by the hot air register. He's fishing for nickels, and he's yelling and hollering. By the way, did any of you have hot air registers in your home? Did you ever have a hot air register? You know the kind that's sunken down into the floor there, and the hot air comes up from the furnace down below in the basement? A genuine hot air register. I don't mean a radiator. See, well, we had these hot air registers. You never hear me talk about radiators at our house. And one of the most fantastic tragedies that ever occurred to me was connected with the hot air register. I got my senior class ring. You know, when you're a junior, you get your senior class ring from high school. And I came home, and I said, "Ma, look, the ring came. My senior, look at, this is my class ring, Ma, look at that, whoa." And I'm holding it up, you know, it's got the onyx, you know, the little black thing with the shield, you know, with all the little torch of learning with the wreaths and all that stuff there. I said, "Look, Ma, my ring, holy smokes, oh, wow, gee whiz, wow." And I go into the Johnson, I'm washing my hands, I take my ring off, see, I says, "Boy, I'm never going to wash my hands with this fantastic ring," you know, already my finger was green, see. So I says, I'm never going to wash my hands with the ring on. That's going to ruin the ring, see? And so I says, I'll put on. My mother says, "Now be careful when you take your ring off and you're washing your hands. Now, that's very dangerous because they always go into the sink." I said, "What do you mean into the sink? It's never going to go into the sink, Ma." I says, "Here, as a matter of fact, I'll put it over here on the shelf." And my hand goes up. It slips out of my hand. It goes ding, doink, 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 and a doink, doink. It's bouncing around on the tile floor, you know. Ding, doink, 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 doink. Goon, 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 goon. Down the hot air register. Right in this thing, it goes down the hot air register. Mama, it went down the register! And I yank up the grill. My head is stuck down into the hot air register. You know, I'm looking down there. There's nothing but a couple of mouse eggs, you know. There's a couple of bird's nests down there and a clothespin and a couple of combs, you know, and a lot of dust. I says, "Ma, where is it? Where is it? Ma, Mama!" And down in the basement I go. And here, the furnace, you know, the furnace was roaring hot. Because we got our ring at the beginning of the junior year, just before Christmas. My ring had gone into the fiery furnace of hell. I had had this ring not more than 5.5 minutes. I brought it home in a box. I smiled like, "Oh, don't tell me about life. Oh, man, don't tell me about life." Which reminds me, speaking of life, you have that Miller High Life spot there. Give them people a little life. You don't have any Miller? Oh, you don't? Sure, you got Miller. All right, if you don't, you mean you don't do it with music? Oh, come on. Well, while you're waiting for that, they're bringing the music in for the Miller people there. And while we're waiting for that, if you're really hip, well, how come, honey? If you're really hip on Chinese food, oh, is that right? Well, if you're really hip on Chinese food, oh boy, never cross a female, I'll tell you. If you're hip on Chinese food, I would like to recommend. That's Chinese music. Oh, happiness. Happiness was found at 93rd, between 93rd and 94th, in the heart of wonderful old New York Broadway. Happiness. They have a 10-course meal there that just does not stop. It goes all the way out of sight for $2.25. They're open 7 days a week, and it is really, you must listen to me, it is one of the most pleasant Chinese restaurants in this entire city. It's just a great place to sit. It's at between 93rd and 94th on Broadway. It's called Happiness. They're open 7 days a week. They have a barzi. They have about 500 different types of food down there from all over China, and it makes it all the way. Happiness. Hey, we ought to have another party up there somewhere. That was a great day, you know? Come on up someday with us, Maya, okay? What time do you ever get up? When do they give you your supper? 4:30 in the morning? What the heck is that? Well, of course, I see the leg irons on you there. Well, we all got our problems. We've all... Now, you got that money, money music in there? Hit it, Dad. Oh, it's Miller. It's Miller High Life. That beer that gives you the glow of hospitality. Well, it gives you the glow, anyway. The sparkle of friendship. These are the qualities you pour with every glass of flavorful, sparkling, fantastic, incredible, diametrically opposite, distinctive Miller High Life, the champagne of bottled beer. This beer, with all of its wonderful, old-world flavor, has a heritage all its own. It's probably got a family tree much deeper and richer in tradition than your own crummy little family twig. Brewed for centuries in a European castle, it's now brewed in Milwaukee. The 110th anniversary of Miller High Life, the champagne, a bottled beer. Evo, we say. Miller High Life, brewed in Milwaukee. That was good. That was very good. That went right down, just what I needed. Well, anyway, the old man says to me, he says, Gene, we'll save it until after supper. And he had this wonderful cat eating a mouse grin. You know, the old man is about to spring something on me, a new Elgin bike, you know. Some great thing, like he says, listen, we're going to go on a picnic to Maine someplace, and you're going to catch a giant 47,000-pound Great Northern Pike, something like that, you know. I say, gee whiz, wow. And so I'm sitting there at supper time, and we had, in our family, a regular ritual type of thing that was always done. I don't know what they eat out here in the East for supper in summertime. There's a special summertime. It's canned salmon. That is a summertime food in the Midwest. Canned salmon. My mother chop it all up, you know, with onions and a little vinegar and salt and pepper and all that, and some lettuce in there. And she'd make a great big pitcher of lemonade, real cold lemonade, you know, with the ice cubes bouncing around in there, and a couple of pieces of lime in it, and a big slice of orange in there. Oh, wow, you know, getting all this great scoff, you know, we're knocking it down. And I can hardly wait. See, the old man is sitting there. He says, you wait, boy. You're really going to be surprised. Would you please pass the lemonade? Oh, boy, you're going to be surprised. And he's reading. He says, oh, Luke Gapling, what do you mean? 7 errors in one inning. What the heck is this? Oh, boy, are you going to be surprised? I'm all excited. Oh, I'm sitting there. Well, finally, at long last, like all good things, the meal came to an end. And the old man says, all right, now, here's your surprise. Okay. Here's your surprise. I said, what is that? What is it? He says, outside, I could hear the kids already starting the nightly game of kick the can and red light, you know, and I can hear guys hollering, holly, holly, ocean free, and I'm itching to get out there, you know, and I can hear the bats flying around out there under the street light. We were great bat hunters. Did you ever hunt bats under the street light? Well, here's the way you hunt bats under the street light. For all those of you kids who'd like to try it, you know, once in a while, if you look up, if you stand by a street light and there's a tree over there, you know, sort of laying against that street light and the moon is hanging over it, you'll see a little flickering up there. Well, that's a bat flying around. That isn't a mosquito. That is not a moth. It's a little bat. They had a nice one. They go like that. See, you see the bats up there. Now, there's a way to catch those bats. For those of you kids who want to know about it, here's what you do. You take your Mets hat, you know, or you take your Sherwin-Williams paint hat, whichever one you want to use. See, I prefer a Mets hat. At that time, I had a White Sox hat that had union buttons all around it. It had Teamsters union buttons and all that. So, all right, I take my Chicago White Sox hat, and you put a rock in it about the size of a golf ball, see. And you see this little thing flying around once in a while. He doesn't stay in the light. He just goes through it. You know, he's feeding on the mosquitoes. He's feeding on the bugs and the June bugs. And you wait, see, and then you take your hat, you go, whew, 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 you swish it around about 4 times, and you let the thing go at the top of the swing. Up she goes, right through the light, you know. The hat, well, the bat sees this thing, see, and he thinks it's some fantastic June bug. He thinks he has hit the jackpot of all June bugs. You know, they really dig June bugs. And he thinks, really, this is the greatest June bug he's ever seen. He goes, whoa, he grabs it, and the next thing you know, he's stuck in a sweatband. Down he comes, and you got yourself a bat. I'll tell you, you go over and you grab him with the hat there, and he goes, get them squeezed. You grab them, you pull them out, and let me tell you, there is nothing, nothing. I'll guarantee you, if your house is dull and boring, if nothing happens in your house, there is nothing like scrambling up the scene than to come running in and letting a bat go in the living room. I'll tell you, it does not stop. My mother chased a bat one time under the daybed for over 3 weeks. Well, all right, so you got the scene. You hear the bats flying around out there. See, I'm really all excited. I want to get out there. And the old man's saying, look, I've got a surprise for you. He says, all right, here it is now. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da. He says, that's a fanfare. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All set now? All right. And my kid brother's going, hey, I want one too. I want one too. He did not hear yet what was about to come. He blenched white. He is still shaking all these years afterwards, after what happened that night. The old man says, now, all right, all set now? Okay. All righty, here we go now. Are you listening, Ma? And my mother says, yes, she's over there with the sink, you know, the kitchen, you know. And, all right. I got you a... I said, what? I got you a, job. A what? You got me what? I got a job for you. I got a great job for you all summer. You're going to work this summer. I'm going to what? And I can hear out there, Oli, Oli, Ocean Free, Raji Brown. What? I've got you a great job. And the man is coming over tomorrow morning to pick you up at 9 o'clock. Be ready. He says, you'll be able to earn money all summer. You'll have a lot of fun. You'll get tan. You'll develop your muscles. And, you know, the whole scene. You'll be able to buy your own corduroy knickers next fall. Just think of it. A job. Why, there isn't a kid in this whole town that wouldn't just go out of his head for a job. A great job. And I got it for you. I said, gee, thanks, Dad. Gee whiz. Thank you. And outside I can hear Flick hollering, hey, Sheriff, come on out. Hey, Sheriff, let's go. And so I'm out on the porch, and I am dragging my you-know-what. I am telling you, you know, it's like all of a sudden, you know, the summer is over. Here it is. It's only about the second week into the vacation. The summer is over. And Flick says, what's the matter? I says, I've got a job. My dad got me a job. Oh, boy. I'm playing a pig, you know. I got a job, Flick. Wowee, boy, am I lucky. My dad came home and said he got me a job, Flick. Oh, boy. And Flick says, you mean you got a job? Holy smokes, I wish my dad would get me a job. Gee whiz. And Schwartz says, a job? You got a job? Gee, I wish my dad would get more. My dad would never get me a job. My dad doesn't even have a job himself. Wow. Well, you know, let me put it this way. Not one of these kids would have taken a job if it was actually offered it to him, you know. As later events prove, Flick is still out of work, by the way. And so yeah, it's great. Well, we played Run Sheep Run. We played Kick the Can. We chased Don Strickland back under the garage again. And, you know, we carried on like that until finally I'm home and back and in bed and asleep, and the trains are whistling out there and the bats are flying around and I'm sleeping. You know, kids forget very quickly. Very quickly. Well, they don't really forget. Reality isn't that important, you know. You don't really think tomorrow morning there will be a guy out there waiting for you to come out to tote that bale and lift that barge, you know. So I'm sleeping there, and all of a sudden, I'm shaking, you know, I'm being shaken. My mother says, you've got to get up now. This is you're going to work today, you know. This is your first day on the job. Mr. Millard is coming. This is the first time I heard Mr. Millard's name. Mr. Millard, by the way, translated means Simon Legree to me. Simon S. Legree. And she says, Mr. Millard. I says, she says, Mr. Millard is coming. He'll be here very quickly. Now, hurry up. You've got to have breakfast. And so there I am. It's 8 o'clock in the morning, and the birds are just starting to come out, you know, and the first kid is dragging out on the back porch, and summer is beginning, and I am sitting there packing in the Ralston. I'm sitting there going to go to work, and sure enough, there's a horn blows, and a man comes out of a car and comes up, knocks on the door, and he says, Mrs. Shepherd, I'm Mr. Millard, and I'm here for your son, Gene.
And he's going to start work with me today, and Cliff is already in the car. And if he's ready, we sure would like to take him. And my mother says, oh, yes, he's ready. And there I'm skulking behind her. You know, I'm hanging out to where her apron strings. And the next thing I know, this kid, I'm 14, I'm sitting in the back seat of a Nash. And I am being driven to work. Mr. Millard is a surveyor. And I'm sitting next to Cliff, who was an older guy who was going to Purdue, and Cliff was his assistant. And where are we heading for? The swamps. Well, by 9:30 that morning, I am wading through the swamps in 17 trillion mosquitoes. The temperature is 175 degrees. The sun is beating down on the top of my head, and I've got a big weed cutter, you know, one of these big sickles, and I am chopping down cattails. And the snakes are flying around me, and the frogs are biting and jumping up, and I can see the pollywogs down there. And way off in the distance, I hear guys hollering, hey, Flake, let's go! We're going to work on the ball diamond, let's go! And I am chopping away through the jungle, the undergrowth. By nightfall, I had developed a 17th degree case of poison oak. I have blisters all over the top of my head, my feet. I am one gigantic mosquito bite. And I arrive home, and I just, oh, boy, my dead. I'm tired. I'm just dripping sweat. My T-shirt, you know, that says Camp Beaver on it, my T-shirt is all torn up from the weeds and the stickers, and I have worked from 9 until 6, and I am home. There's my father. He's eating already. I'm home. I'm coming home from work. And he says, how did you like your first day at work? How did you like it? Very good. He says, already you're looking like a man. Already it's putting flesh on you. Isn't it great? Isn't it wonderful to work out in the out-of-doors with Mr. Millard to really do a job? I said, yeah, Dad, gee whiz. Well, after supper, I am so tired I can hardly move. The vacation is over, of course. You know, forget it. The ball diamond is dead. I can hardly move. And I go out into the dark street, and there is Flick and Bruner and Schwartz running around. They're throwing their hat up at the bats, yelling and hollering, and Don Strickland is under the porch already, you know. And I come out there, and Flick says to me, you worked today, didn't you? I said, yeah. I said, gee whiz. I was a big man. I am a real man. Flick and Schwartz and Bruner fooled around all day, you know, hitting each other with clotheslines and trying to learn how to pole vault with the clothes prop. And, they had been riding around on their bikes. And I had been laying a chain line that was about to be a key important thing in the widening of the Little Calumet River, which to this day is just a sump hole. But nevertheless, I had entered the great world of the adult for that one brief, horrible, unfortunate, incredible 3-week period in which I burn at least 200 billion ergs every day. Or is it BTUs you burn? Which is it? I will always remember that sense after we completed the job. 3 weeks, every morning, I was feeling rotten and terrible. I don't want to come up. Well, I began to get into that sense of a routine by the end of the second week. Roughly, I was moving into the end of the third week then, and every morning I would go out and I'd sit with Cliff. And I'd say, hi, Cliff. How are you, Cliff? And I've got now, I'm bronzed. Boy, I'm bronzed from being under the sun, you know, for 9 hours every day in the swamps, and I'm bronzed. And I got my T-shirt on all of every morning, you know, and I smell like soap. And all the kids, you know, they really envied me. Now, I was a big man. And one day I get in the car, and Mr. Miller turns and says, Gene, this is your last day with us. That's last day. He says, yeah, you know, we're finishing the job down there. He says, if we get another job where we need a kid to work on the weeds and to help with the chain, we'll give you a call. Last day? He says, yeah, your last day. And that day I'm working with heavy heart. I'm chopping away at the weeds, you know. And I love the sense of being out there now with my big sickle. I love the sense of Cliff saying, hey, how'd you like a beer? And he never gave me a beer, you know. He's always kidding me about how I'd like a beer with him and Millard, you know. And they once in a while they tell dirty jokes, you know, how they do. And I'm one of the boys now in the chain gang. It is now 6 o'clock and I'm out of work. And Mr. Miller grabs me by the hand. He says, kid, he says, we need you. We'll give you a call. You're a good weed man. You're a real weed man. I says, yeah, that's right, Len. I'm a real weed man. Well, I went back the next day and went out into the backyard and started to play with the clothes prop. And I'm running around, you know, trying to make a snake out of the rope. And then I'm out there with the sand, and I'm chasing Dawn around. That afternoon, Flick and I go out looking for junk in the alleys. And it was like I was suddenly a defrocked man. Oh, man, I was back with the kids. I was back with the infants. I was back with the women and children once again. A true American story. No. You want to hear more about me and Mr. Millard? And how late in the... Oh, don't worry, we're doing it. Late in the fall, Mr. Millard called up one day and put me back to work, and he asked me if I wanted to be his chain man. Cliff had left and gone back to Purdue early for the summer session. And he called me and said, would you like to be my chain man? There's nobody I can get. And I said, would I like to be... You know what the chain man is, Mario? Well, you're looking at an experienced chain man. If there's any surveyor out there who'd like a man who can really handle them pins, Dad, and who the summer after that turned into one of the greatest transit men who ever worked a surveying line, you're looking right at. What a wonderful sense it is to look through that transit and you see those crosshairs and you set it up exactly right with the plumb line. You know, I used to set up the transit for Miller. Miller used to give me the instructions where he wanted it. And I am calling the next summer down to another kid, a 12-year-old kid. I'm saying, all right, now, move the pin a little to the right. Move it. Hold it right there and lay the stake. What a man. And even to this day, some of the things that I was involved in are standing. Hello. Hello, 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 hello. Hello, there, that's good. Hello, hello, hello. What's this thing doing here? Yes, sir, that's my bed. There we go. Oh, listen, for those of you who are interested in a... What's this thing? It's not working. Oh, we've got Castro with us here, friends. And if you're one of those people who live in a house surrounding yourself entirely by flower pots, I would suggest you consult with Castro. They make convertibles, Dad, that convert into almost anything you care to name. And a few things that we can't even mention here on the air. But these are convertibles that just don't stop. They go out of sight. They come in 2,000 different fabrics, some of which are so exotic that the animals have not yet been identified out of which these fabrics are made. This is Castro convertible, one of the greatest convertibles made. As a matter of fact, I know of some people who have even equipped theirs with motors. There's a motor-driven Castro. You can get it licensed and drive it out to Jones Beach. There are 37 Castro stores, New Jersey, Philadelphia, points east, west, north, and south, and it's Castro.